that's just fascinating, and I'm so glad to have you here and learning about this. I can't wait until the event. April 9th at Raritan Valley Community College? Okay. What about you, Patrick Little Wolf? Tell us about yourself.
Hello. Good morning. My name's Patrick Little Wolf Brooks. I'm part of the Tuscarora Nation of the Iroquois Society, upstate New York, and I'm the co-producer of Ravenswing Productions. Just helping to spread the word about Native Americans and what things we have going on in society today, especially with Native veterans. I'm a 12-year Army veteran myself. And unlike a lot of cultures, we really celebrate our veterans every single weekend. We don't wait around till Veterans Day to show our appreciation. So part of the Warrior Society of my people, I represent the Native Americans that have given are giving their lives in service of the country, just like we did for hundreds of years now.
Wonderful work. Very interesting. I can't wait to get more into it. Now we're making introductions right now. This is Good Morning Hunterdon. I'm Jeannie Murphy. It's 9:09 a.m. We're going to talk now. Stephen Kaufman, Raritan Valley archaeologist.
Anthropologist.
As well.
Okay.
It's great to be here. And first, I want to thank you for subbing for Chris.
Oh,
it's pleasure. Really appreciated. Okay. This program coming up is very important. But I've been teaching at the college for 40 years, and I've been offering a course in Native American studies, which was one of my areas of interest, and the responsibility of an anthropology course is introduce people to cultures across the world. And then, as it turned out, and this will give a little bit of the origins of the powwow and how I met first Patrick and later Emily, I happened to be on sabbatical one year, and in fact, I was in the desert Southwest looking at Native American communities at the time. And then word got back to me that there was a student by the name of Patrick Little Wolf who was interested in expanding the programming and course offerings at the college. So Patrick and I started talking, and lo and behold, we find ourselves 4 years later with a powwow coming to the college. And really the purpose of the powwow is to use it as a basis or a springboard from which the college can grow its Native American programs, activities, offer scholarships. And one of the important things about the powwow is that the net proceeds from the powwow are going to be used to support Native American programming and scholarships at the college and to make Native Americans feel more welcome. Emily and I have done a little bit of research, and she said one figure, and I said, let me look at it again from the 2010 census. And it turns out that there are 124,000 self-identified Native Americans living in our tri-state area.
Really?
Yes, and
wow.
That includes New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
And
in Connecticut.
Actually, I didn't include Connecticut.
Oh, really?
That's why I said our tri-state area. Because if I was in New York, I used a different tri-state area.
Okay.
So that's why I was being very careful. If I threw in Connecticut, the number would probably be 160,000 to 170,000.
Mm-hmm.
So but the point is that there are lots of Native Americans in the area, and the question is, how do we bring them into our community? How do we recognize them? How do we make them feel welcome? And we're looking at this power, again, as being a springboard. And as Emily so beautifully pointed out, this is an opportunity for Native Americans to certainly get together, reconnect with each other, establish new friends, but it's really a primary responsibility for us as a school to educate the community
mm-hmm.
about the richness of Native Americans. And as Emily once pointed out, and the study was done, most people think Native Americans, in quotes, ended in the 1890s with the ends of the Plains War.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality is that Native Americans are a very vital part of our community. And they live multiple lives, as all of us do.
Mm-hmm.
But this one just isn't recognized. And part of the purpose of the powwow is to bring that forward. And so that's what we're offering. And we're very, very excited by it. But if I can just add one other thought, the powwow program actually has two components to it.
Okay.
We've specially designed a program on Friday for school children. And I use the word school children loosely because some of them are coming from high schools.
April 8th?
School, what's it?
April 8th?
Friday, April 8th.
Okay.
And, you know, there's still some space available. So if there are people out there listening that want to get their classes involved, they can certainly call up, and I'll give you a phone number if I could,
mm-hmm.
908-231-8816, and just ask for me and leave a message, and just say you're interested in bringing your school. But the purpose of Friday is to really provide educational workstations, for want of a better word, or areas where teachers and their students can move around and have an opportunity, as Emily pointed out, to directly interact with Native Americans, to talk about their history, to talk about their culture, to learn how to dance, make bows and arrows. I mean, it's a fabulous day, Friday just into itself. And at this point, we have over 600 people attending on Friday.
Wow. And where is that going to be held at the college?
It's going to be held at the college on the college soccer field.
On the soccer field at Raritan Valley Community College.
Correct, okay. Right. Mm-hmm. And again, they can, if they're interested in bringing their students, or we've gotten very strong support from homeschoolers, actually. So if there are parents out there who want to bring, all they have to do is call that number again, and I'll plug it once more, 908-231-8816, and you can register. And then on Saturday, it's a very different. We have a very large, complex, beautiful powwow, and as you pointed out, the not-to-be-missed grand entry is indeed not to be missed. If Patrick is correct in what he was talking about, in the dancers for the grand entry, we're likely to have as many as 300 dancers representing tribes from across the United States and Canada.
Goodness. And so that's right at noon.
That's right at noon. Yeah. And really, it happens at noon. Yeah. I mean, one of the things that everybody needs to know is that this thing runs like clockwork. So when they start the drum call at 11:45 and get the drums just acknowledging their presence and getting everybody in quotes psychologically prepared.
Oh, my God. I just picture it.
Right. It's a fabulous, fabulous event. So that's the purpose of the powwow.
So as just a question, because we're going to go to our break in a second, is there a place that people should go if they want to learn more? Website-wise or anything available?
Yeah. They can go to www.raritanval.edu/paintedfaces. And that will bring them to our website, and they can click on the left side that promotes the school day, or they can click on the right side, and that promotes the powwow day on Saturday the 9th.
We also are on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. So if you want to go through the social media, you can find
us. We're definitely modern natives.
I love it. I love it. I'm sure everybody out there listening is as well.
And they can also just Google it by simply putting in Painted Faces in the Valley Spring Powwow. Again, Painted Faces in the Valley Spring Powwow. And you'll come up with a half dozen hits immediately.
All right, that's great information. This is Good Morning, Hunterdon. I'm Jeannie Murphy filling in for Chris Bianco. Big C, he's not feeling well today. We're all wishing him, hoping he's feeling better. It is 9:15 already on April 1st. Happy April Fool's Day. And I'm having a conversation here in studio with Stephen Kaufman from Raritan Valley Community College, Emily Raven Standing Bear, and Patrick Littlewolf talking about a powwow that's coming up for the first time ever at Raritan Valley on the 8th and 9th of April. You can stand by after the commercial break. We'll give you more information.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HuntertonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good Morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call Mommy Hunterton at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. Mommy Hunterton, the voice for mental health in Hunterton County.
This is Jeannie Aversa, CRPC, financial advisor at Patton Hyde & Associates. Do you have questions about your retirement, like will your money last throughout your lifetime? Will you have enough to live the life you want? And when will you be able to retire? If so, you're not alone. As a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., Patton Hyde & Associates can help you find the answers with the exclusive Confident Retirement Approach. We'll work with you one-to-one to understand your goals and discuss the four key areas of retirement, including covering your essentials, lifestyle, protection, and legacy needs. From there, we'll work together to develop a retirement roadmap with clear steps you can take to help you retire on your terms. Call Patton Hyde & Associates today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. The Confident Retirement Approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor.
Good morning, Hunterton. I'm Jeannie Murphy, filling in for Big C. I didn't get to say it like he does, but I was trying. I just hope you're having a great day. It's already April 1st. It's already 9:19 in the morning. I can't believe it. Our guests today in studio are absolutely fascinating, and we're talking about an upcoming event called a powwow at Raritan Valley Community College on April 8th for schools and groups, and then April 9th open to the general public. Stephen Kaufman is in studio from Raritan Valley Community College, anthropologist and archaeologist.
Yeah, it's hard to believe I've been teaching there almost 40 years.
That's quite impressive.
Right, and in fact, I've been teaching close to 50.
And you're very passionate about this upcoming event.
Yes, absolutely.
It's really coming through, and it's just so nice to be in studio with you, and also Emily Raven Standing Bear, which is an honor name, and Patrick Littlewolf, also an honor name. I'm going to learn all about that now. So let's go back and get really into the details of what you guys are doing, where it came from, where it's going, and a little bit about the tribes and the representation at the powwow.
Well, we're going to be getting visitors basically representing tribes from all over Canada and the United States. We have actually asked a lot of we are three sitting tribes in the state of New Jersey, and so our head staff, our junior head lady is Alyssa Mosley, who's of the Lenni Lenape tribe of Bridgeton, New Jersey. She's also a tribal princess, and Chief Mark Gould, who will be our Eagle Staff carrier. They're going to all be part of the grand entry. We have honored veterans. We're also welcoming the Sister Nations Color Guard. Then they're coming in from Omaha, Nebraska, Albuquerque, New Mexico, and Denver, Colorado. A real honor to have these ladies join us. They are a group of female veterans who travel around the country serving as color guards of events just like this all over the country, all over the world, really, and in support of female veterans. I don't think people realize how many women have contributed to the service of the country, and so we wanted to bring the ladies in. And the other component of that is because this is the East Coast. East Coast tribes were matriarchal in nature. All the bloodlines, the wealth, the decision making, and the government passed down on the women's side.
That is
and
so interesting.
All the leadership was women.
Wow.
Clan mothers up north, among Patrick's people. And so when the Europeans came to this country and wanted to sit with the native people to discuss treaties, they refused to sit with the women because in Europe women were subservient to the men. So the women would send the men over to to join in the council, but they would come back and tell the women what's going on, and they would actually make all the decisions as to what to do next.
It's like being married.
It should be that way.
So, in my opinion. No.
So, you know, so while there are many great,
so interesting,
while there are many awesome color guard groups, we felt that to pay homage to the matriarchal societies on the East Coast, we brought in Sister Nations Color Guard to honor us by serving as color guard. We are also bringing in some amazing drums, very well known on the powwow circuit. We're welcoming War Paint from North Carolina. We're welcoming Silver Club Singers from New York. We're also bringing in another drum called Wild Band. They're coming in from Arizona. And Medicine Horse Singers from Pennsylvania and Maryland.
What is a medicine horse? What is that?
Medicine Horse Singers.
What is that?
And also Red Blanket Singers, which is from the Lenni Lenape tribe here in New Jersey. So we're bringing in a nice group of eclectic group of singers and dancers that are going to be celebrating different styles.
Emily, can I ask you to explain to all of us the idea and role of drums and how important they are to the Native community?
Well, the drums represent the circle of life. And so everything is done in a circular shape. The dance arena is a circle. The drum is a circle. Represents Earth, Mother Earth. And so the drums represent the heartbeat of Mother Earth. And this is the beat that we dance to. And the reason why we don't put the drums up on a stage or on a platform, we set them on the ground so that the dancers can feel the beat of the drums on their feet. And it's really quite exciting. If you've ever been to a powwow and you've stood around the drum, you can literally feel your heart. Your heart will start beating to the beat of the drum. And when we do closing songs at the end of the powwow, people stand around the drum and they do what they call a traveling song to wish everyone safe journey home. And so it's really quite emotional and a stirring moment for many Native people.
And it's much different than what you hear in Hollywood. People always say the drum sounds good, but they're thinking of hearing. And the thing about it is, like Lemmy said, it's the heartbeat of the nation. So if your heart sounds like that, you need to get checked out.
Right. The murmur or something, huh?
If I can just add a quick thought, if you don't mind, and that is just to let people know that the powwow, actually, the gates open at 9 a.m. and we conclude at 6 p.m. It's a full day with the grand entry again at 12 noon, but people really want to be there earlier to enjoy the vendors, enjoy some of the demonstrations that are taking place.
Well, also, so we have entertainment in the right. morning as well. We are welcoming the Haudenosaunee smoke dancers from upstate New York. They're going to be coming in to do a fabulous presentation of smoke dancing, which Iroquois social dances. We're also welcoming the Tsinkwa family dancers, world champion hoop and fancy feather dancers. Actually, two of the dancers there just competed at the World Hoop Dancing Championship at the Heard Museum in Arizona. Wild Band has been all over the world traveling, so we're really very fortunate to have them. And also Eagle Pines Falconry from Virginia. They're going to be bringing in eagles, a bald eagle, hawks, owls, all kinds of birds of prey to do a fabulous wildlife presentation. So even though grand entry is happening at noon, come early.
Right.
Because there's some amazing performances happening in the morning. And then after those performances, we're going to be doing announcements and then going right into grand entry. We are going to have dancers. I mean, we've actually had dancers calling us the last couple of weeks, asking about coming. And so we're expecting a contingent of people from the Mashpee Nation, Shinnecock, of course, Lenni Lenape.
All the Iroquois tribes.
So we're expecting a lot of dancers. And I actually got a call yesterday from a group of dancers in Connecticut, and they said, "Oh yeah, we're going to be bringing a whole van full of people." And so it's really very exciting,
but
because
it seems like almost a privilege to have the ability to go to it. You're not in one of the tribes.
We're really honored to have the event at the college.
Let everybody know again at Raritan Valley.
Raritan Valley Community College. If I could just add one other thought, and that is, people who are coming should think about bringing a blanket or lawn chairs, and coolers are not permitted. Food and drink, soft drinks, water, juices will be available the day of the event, including Native foods.
Oh, and pets. Pets are not.
No pets, but seeing seeing eye
service
dogs.
Service dogs, of course.
Come hungry.
Right.
I always say that. What reason me and Emily started this company together was we went to a few events that called themselves native events, but they were hobbyists that read a few books and they put on their own quote-unquote show of native people. We wanted to give an opportunity to the public to say, you know what, not only did I read about these native people, but I got to talk to one. I got to sit down and actually get a point of view from an actual native person. Nothing's, you don't remember anything more than hands-on connection with someone. So if you ask a native person, a real indigenous person from a reservation, from their actual tribes that live and breathe their culture, what they feel about politics or how they feel about how things are going on in the world today, they can give you a standing point instead of having to always look it up or read someone else's count of views. A child, I've noticed we have two children that if anytime we want to teach them anything, they learn more when we take them to the zoo. Mm-hmm. And let them see the animals.
Sure.
Or we take them to an exhibit, an African exhibit, where African people are teaching about their culture. They learn more. They have that one-on-one connection. It's more than just watching TV or putting in a DVD or watching Johnny Depp.
You actually
learn the culture. And that's what's beautiful about it.
And yeah, you were mentioning about coming hungry.
Absolutely.
So that's part of the experience as well, right? It's quite authentic.
I think of this event, and I've said this many, many times, you know, out in the world today, you know, we're watching television, we're seeing a lot of division, a lot of, we're trying to, draw these lines of race and religion. The powwow, to me, represents an opportunity to bring together those universal languages of food and music and dance and bring everyone together, native and non-native alike, to come together in fellowship and just enjoy the day. It gives non-native people a chance to do some shopping, have a great meal, and watch some amazing entertainment and dancing, and yet at the same time be educated. So you sort of take the classroom out of the lesson.
Right.
You know, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And it's a living museum. It's an interactive thing. Mm-hmm. And you're involved. And you get to participate in the dancing. You get called up by, you know, someone doing the wildlife demonstration and touch an eagle. I mean, there's so many opportunities to be involved. And not just as a spectator. You know, life is not a spectator sport. Mm-hmm. You got to be involved. So the thing that I love about it is that it will bring people together. I see the powwow as a unifying event where people can come together and we can forget about what makes us different and start thinking about what makes us similar. And instead of being, recognizing what divides us, whether it be politics, race, or whatever, we're all part of the same race, and that's the human race. Mm-hmm. And this is why the circle of life, the dance circle is so important, because we're all together in the circle dancing. And dancing is such an important part of our culture, because for Native people, it's, Native culture is one of the few cultures where our religion and our spirituality and, our culture are melded into one. Mm-hmm. And so we're, our dancing is not just dancing. It is not entertainment. It's our way of honoring our ancestors. You know, when I dance for everyone who's gone before me, all those who will follow me, and those who can't dance anymore. And so when I'm out there, I'm not dancing for myself. I'm dancing for others, and that's pretty much true for all Native dancers. The powwow itself actually originated in the history of the powwow. Started out as a spiritual gathering, and they were relegated to one tribe. And normally they would do rituals and prayers, success in battle, a good hunt, good harvest. And as the years went by, other tribes would implement their own traditions and their own ceremonies. And now that in the contemporary powwow arena, it is more of a social gathering. Mm-hmm. It's more intertribal, so different tribes show up, and it's a chance for us to see relatives. It's a chance for us to get together, and it's also an education opportunity for our own children, because we have young children who are learning how to dance. Most Native kids learn how to dance before they learn how to crawl. Mm-hmm. And so it's a way for them to practice their traditions, practice their dancing, see that we're still living in a contemporary world, but yet holding on to our traditions. And I think that that's the most important thing, is to give our kids a chance to live in their tradition.
I was going to say, we're going to go to our break right now. It's already 9:32 on April 1st. Good morning, Hunterdon here. I'm Jeannie Murphy filling in for Chris Bianco, Big C. You know, it's interesting what you say before we go real quick to the weather is we actually had an archaeologist come out to our property. It just happened to be at our house, you know. So I'm thinking about your listeners out there who just kind of don't think about how much Native representation there was here beforehand. They actually found a little a rock, and he could tell that it was actually made by kids that were Native children. And he actually showed us where some of the tribes had actually been higher up on higher ground and so on. I was just like so fascinated. So I don't know if you're listening out there, but we're talking about a really important, sounds like absolutely beautiful event that's going to be held at Raritan Valley Community College on Friday for groups that want to learn more. If you're a homeschooler or your school, you can get in touch with the Raritan Valley Community College. Mr. Stephen Kaufman is in charge of organizing that for the April 8th on Friday. And then on Saturday next week on April 9th, from early in the morning, 9 o'clock, I said, or
96.
90 mm-hmm. can go and set up. And then basically at noon, there's going to be the grand entry. And they're talking about it. It's a powwow. Hundreds of representatives from different tribes and dancers and everybody and food and learning about the cultures are going to be there. So we just want to make sure you know about it. We're going to go to our quick weather, and we'll be right back. This is Good Morning Hunterdon. And again, it's 9:34. The weather forecast, just so you would know if you happen to be in the area today, scattered showers before 2 p.m., then showers likely with a possible thunderstorm in the afternoon, high about 77. Chance of showers tonight before 8 p.m., it's going to be around a low about 50 degrees. Saturday, chance of showers mainly before 5 p.m. That just jumped. Oh, my gosh, shit, it's Friday. I'm losing it. Okay. Chance of showers mainly before 5 p.m., mostly cloudy on Saturday with a high about 59, chance of rain on Saturday night before 5 a.m. with a chance of snow showers even possible with a low about 31. That continues on Sunday morning up until about 8 a.m. and then it's going to be a near high of 43, partly cloudy with a low about 30 on Sunday night. We're going back right away to our conversation here with, and then I want to learn a little bit about the honor of these names too, Emily Raven, Standing Bear, Patrick Little Wolf, and again, Stephen Kaufman from Raritan Valley Community College, been there for 40 years.
Right. Can I just add one thought?
Please do.
I've attended numerous powwows. One of the most remarkable things is the willingness of the Native community to share their stories, their background. And so when you see the people walking about, if they're in regalia, which is their dress for the event.
Not costume.
Even you were talking about a princess here in New Jersey. I'm what does that mean? I want to know. I want to see what she's wearing.
People should take the opportunity to ask people questions, and they are always very patient. They're very open about these things, and that's one of the very beautiful things about it. I've attended numerous fairs and festivities across the world, and this is one of the more special events that takes place. No matter where the powwows have been held that I've attended, there's an openness and willingness to share the traditions and culture that is really unrivaled.
It sounds absolutely true, but Stephen, can you also remind everybody about the event and if there's a charge, what the charges are, who is open to?
You may know
that. I think I could help you out.
Okay,
Emily knows those better than me.
Admission prices are $10 for adults, $5 for youth. I guess
you children.
Know, children, and then free for children 5 and under. And then seniors are $5, veterans $5, all first responders, police officers, firemen, EMTs are free with ID, and all military personnel in uniform are also admitted free. Parking is also free. Obviously, we also have group pricing available, and they can call the number that Dr. Kaufman provided. We are offering $5 for groups, adult groups of 10 or more, I believe.
Correct.
And that's the pricing. And of course, you can get all this information on the website as well. That's also available. And it's a wonderful experience, and I think people will really enjoy it. And it's a great, also, family event.
Yeah.
It opens a lot of dialogue, and you'll, and surprisingly, when I've seen families come out, it's the parents that learn more, and the kids are sitting there going, "Hey, Dad, guess what?" And they're telling the parents about. So I always enjoy that, you know. So yeah, we're very excited about the event, and it's been really gratifying for me to put it together, because it's the kind of thing where you get to bring together your friends, and we all have the same goal that we want to educate and share our culture with people, and just, you know, introduce them to some things that maybe they haven't seen before.
Yeah, and if I could just say a word about the college for the moment. When Patrick and Emily approached me with the idea, I said, this sounds promising. It sounds very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So working at the school as I do, I said, let me go down to speak with the president. And President McDonough and Vice President John Trojan have given me, and us for that matter, extraordinary support.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure that I could have gone to another college and seen the levels of support that they are providing to make this event a go. It's just amazing. And so much thanks and appreciation for their commitment to this.
On behalf of all of us as well.
Well, that's one thing I love about RVCC. I'm also a student at RVCC taking up liberal arts education. And one of the reasons I chose RVCC was the diversity.
Mm-hmm.
It's vastly diverse, especially to be a community college in this area. You don't expect it to take so many steps to make sure everyone feels like they have a community. But then also why this came about is that my first day of school, I started looking at all the clubs that were going on, and we had the Hispanic club, African-American clubs, and I was like, this is amazing. But as the months went on, Native American History Month came around. No one in the school really knew about Native American History Month, which is November.
It was November, okay.
And I was quite offended.
Mm-hmm.
And I was offended just at the school. I was offended that this school was known for such diversity, but nothing spoke for my people.
Mm-hmm.
So being, you know, Patrick Little Wolf that I am, really
very shy and retiring.
Yeah. I went and done something about it. I did something about it for a simple fact. I come from a community of Native people that deal with suicide at high rates. One out of every five kids don't make it to the age of 15. They feel like they have no way out. College is not a way for them to leave. And they don't think about college. And I said, something has to be done. And I was raised to be a leader amongst my people. That I went to RVCC. I went to the Multicultural Affairs first to talk to Ms. Richelin DeShields. To tell her, I said, where's my representative,
mm-hmm.
a representative?
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me know, how do we fix this? How do I bring my culture to this school? And instead of a lot of cases when it comes to programs, instead of them saying, well, we'll do something next year, or we'll try, she said, what can we do? And it just blew me away that the school was so willing to say, instead of giving me an excuse why they haven't,
right,
they give me an open door for me
right.
to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to my partner and my best friend, Emily, and I said, the school is open. They want to do this. So we sat down with the school. They brought in Mr. Stephen Kaufman. A year later, which he was already involved with the Native American History Studies there at the college, brought us in, and the thing has just bloomed. It has just blossomed into something I could never imagine. We started out with the veteran show that we do every year now,
mm-hmm.
November 11th on Veterans Day. We do a big veteran show. We bring in dancers and a live drum and a lot of veterans. We show our veterans. I have a tender spot for veterans probably because I am one.
Right.
And I also have a tender spot for veterans that don't get the respect that they get. They don't get that respect anymore. If you're in a uniform and you're in the service, people give you a lot of thank yous. But once you take off the uniform, you're forgotten about. So I wanted to show our veterans and our active duty service members that Native people have always, always respected our warriors because we are a warrior society. Without our warriors, we can't stay safe. They're the ones that protect us. They're the ones that stay up late at night. There is no weekends and vacations for a warrior. It's all the time. And RVC has been a humongous door. So Emily came to me one night and said, you know what would be amazing? A powwow. And I was like, oh, I didn't even think about that.
How long ago was that?
That was 4 years ago, actually.
I mean, I can't even imagine logistically putting this together. It's so exciting. Talking again about the powwow coming up for the first time.
Well, when we started talking about the powwow in the Native community, mm-hmm. they were like, when is it? When is it? When is it?
Right.
So, you know, and we've been dancing on the powwow circuit, you know, since we were kids. So, you know, we have established a lot of relationships with different dancers, and we think of, you know, we think of ourselves as family. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's when the call goes out, you know, people show up.
Oh, man. It's like a family reunion with the best. It's with a family reunion with your best favorite family.
Yeah.
You know, the people you want to, you know, you got a family reunion that's great. Mm-hmm. But as soon as they go home, it's good. In a powwow, it's not like that. In a powwow, it's your family you want to see all the time. Mm-hmm. And we always get together on those weekends and just get together, have a good time, fill up on food, and dance our heart out. That's a reunion you want to go to.
That sounds like it. I am interested in asking you guys, like, all the work that you guys are doing, especially, you know, from the ground level, really, mm-hmm. trying to let people know about the perceptions. Do you feel like you're making progress? Changing?
All the time. Absolutely all the time. I mean, it goes without saying that there are always those, you know, few incidences. I mean, I still... You know, I've been at powwows where people have walked up to me and said, how? And I was like, I don't know how. and they're like, oh, well, we thought you people talk like that. I was like, really?
Oh, my gosh.
Lay off those late night reruns of the Lone Ranger. Mm-hmm. Go to a powwow. You'll learn a lot more.
Enjoy being called Pocahontas?
No, I do not. and the other thing, too, is that, you know, there are Native people, when they get a dress up, they get very upset. Because yes. It's your stereotypical, you know, take it the opportunity to make an education moment.
Right.
And I've gotten engaged with some really great conversations with people that, you know, I didn't know that. And so
right, that's how I feel today. And I really do. I respect the one I know
one
about,
the
like
that
you said,
to
honor
me
names.
Important that we've almost created this new tribe called Native American. And it belies the cultural diversity, the historical richness of all these individual tribes. Mm-hmm. And one of the great things about the powwow is you get an opportunity to see the cultural differences, yet the boundaries that bring them together, or bindings that bring them together as one.
Well, even the term Native Americans, a lot of Native people don't right. really care for the term, Patrick being one of them. Patrick always refers to us as Indigenous Americans, because if you're born here, mm-hmm. you are Native to this country. And what Native means is born of. Whereas Indigenous Americans means our ancestors were here. So Indigenous Americans is really a more accurate, but Native Americans has been just this term that's been around for so long. And just like most things, because it's been used so often, this is the term that people relate to the most. Mm-hmm. And so as a result, you know, I mean, I don't particularly care for the term myself, but I understand why it's in place. So I do use it. If for no other reason, just to provide a point of reference for people that I'm trying to educate and to teach. And, you know, and Patrick's been a big advocate. He's always trying to press Native people to call themselves Indigenous. And
that's one of those bad labels. I see this as a bad label. It's like Indian.
It's misleading.
Mm-hmm. It really is. Mm-hmm. If we want to fix history, we have to educate as we go. Mm-hmm. I guess so many people say, well, I didn't know that. Well, the reason you don't know it is because you don't ask it. You assume. Mm-hmm. And one thing I've learned about the military is never to assume. If you don't know, ask. Someone will tell you. And being called Indian or Native American to me is offensive, because that's not what I am. And I also feel like I offend other people. If I call myself Indian, I offend actual Indians from India. That's their home, mm-hmm. not my home. Mm-hmm. If I call myself Native American, I'm offending every other person that was born in this beautiful soil we have here. You are actually Native American. You got that right because you were blessed to be born in this soil. You're native to this land. My ancestors are older than America. So how can I be Native American when my ancestors are older than America?
And in fact, if you go up to Canada, they call the people up there First Nations.
First Nations.
And so they use a very different phrasing that mm-hmm. way. And then, of course, this is, for me, it was always a surprise that the Smithsonian, the leading museum for the United States, had built this fabulously beautiful museum with the guidance and direction of the native community, and with all due respect to the word, it's hard to change in midstream.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
yes,
and they call themselves the Museum of the American Indian.
Mm-hmm.
And so really there's not a whole lot of consensus about this, frankly, mm-hmm. but everybody understands effectively what we're talking about.
Absolutely,
that's mm-hmm. the important point.
Yes.
Right. Well, look, we're going to go to a break real quick. This is Good Morning Hunterdon. Hope you're having a great morning. It is about 9:47 on April 1st. I'm Jeannie Murphy, actually filling in for Big C, and I'm speaking with Stephen Kaufman from Raritan Valley Community College, Emily Raven Standing Bear, and Patrick Little Wolf, and we're talking about a powwow. It's the first official powwow ever been held at Raritan Community College on April 8th for groups, and April 9th open to the public with a grand entry happening. It's a really big event. I hope you've been listening in and enjoying just learning about some of the history and culture of just going to leave it up to you guys to say if it's Native American or indigenous, but we're going to get a break right now. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
Hi, this is Ruth Ann Disatel, celebrant officiant with Celebration of a Lifetime. When people ask me why I joined the Chamber, it's because I want to get to know you and what you're all about. And I want you to get to know me and what I'm all about. And together, I'd like to celebrate what we can do for Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business.
Welcome back to Good Morning Hunterdon.
Hey guys, I want to give you a little treat. See, in Native culture, in today's culture, if a young man wanted to woo a young lady, he would simply walk up or ask her for a number or Facebook her. Well, in Native society, it's much different. Especially on the East Coast, when we are a matriarch society, that means the women are in charge of everything. Like Emily said earlier. So to get a woman's attention, you had to work a lot harder.
Oh, yes. You had to really impress us.
Absolutely. So one of the ways we did it was to play the flute. And I'm a flute player myself. And so instead of screaming out Facebook, you had to get near her tent without her father finding out and play her a song. And it had to be her song. And if she responded to your song, that means she's accepted you as a mate. But if not, you better go practice some more.
Or find another song.
Are these songs? And you better not play the same song for other women.
Yeah, did you have to make your own song?
Absolutely.
And write your own song.
Yeah, that's so interesting.
And to woo a woman, you had to make her a flute. It wasn't a general flute from everything. you went out, and if you seen a woman, you picked the right type of wood that represented that woman. That because that
special.
That wood would represent who she was. So if she was strong like an oak, your flute was made out of oak. If she was soft and but strong, it'd be willow. So on and so forth. So your even the wood of your flute represented who she was. And when you played a song, it had to represent who she was. So there's a lot of thought and heart that went into the song. It wasn't just going up asking her out, because you had to go through her. First, you had to go through her brothers, then her uncles, and then her father, then her mother, just to say hi.
That's amazing.
It's sort of like Native American, The Voice.
Yeah.
You know, you got buzzed if they wanted to.
That's it.
Yeah. Let's hear.
This was a song I played for my lady in my life.
Did you make that?
I did.
Okay. Wow.
I named "I Will Always Love You."
Oh, that's just amazing! So sweet, and what a history lesson here—a learning experience. I'm really into it, actually. This is Good Morning Hunterdon. It's already 9:54 on April 1st, and we're talking again about an upcoming event at Raritan Valley Community College. It's called a powwow. It's a huge deal. It's very authentic. There's hundreds of different tribes that are coming, dancers. You guys want to tell a little bit more about it before the end of our show?
I just want to add one more point to the point you made. Indeed, the guiding philosophy of the powwow, as directed and constructed by Emily and Patrick, is the word authentic. This is something that has been important, frankly, to the three of us and important to the school as well. But it will be an authentic powwow.
It's just amazing. Yeah, I can't even believe it.
The crafts have to be authentic. Mm-hmm. The dancing, the drums, the regalia.
It's definitely a step back in time. And very often, what I think is the most important thing about the powwows, not just the educational aspect, is that the public see that there are Native Americans, you know, in contemporary society, and yet they are living in, they're continuing in their language, they're continuing in their crafts and their music. Language is a huge component of that. A lot of the languages are not really being spoken, and especially now with, you know, you've got Game Boys and the internet, and so the young people are not learning the languages anymore, and the way our crafts are being passed down, you know, they're getting distracted by more contemporary elements of modern life. So, you know, they say when the music stops, when the language is not spoken, then the culture will die. So the aim of the powwow is to show the public that we're a thriving, rich community. So we really want everyone to come out and enjoy themselves. Like I said, the gates open at 9. We're having some tremendous entertainment in the morning, followed by a fabulous grand entry. And I think that's something that nobody should miss. It's literally the cornerstone of the powwow, and that unites everyone. Bring blankets, chairs. We are not, if you do bring a canopy, the canopies can't be staked to the ground, so try to bring something to weigh it down if you need to have a canopy. But we're going to have some seating available, special seating for the elderly, veterans, and so forth. And I just encourage everyone to come out and just have a great time. It's a great family event, you know, we're just really thankful and grateful to RVCC and Dr. Kaufman and Mr. John Trojan and the president, Michael McDonough. They've been absolutely supportive, and it's rare that we get that kind of support, and we're just really grateful that we have this opportunity to bring it to the community. And so please check out the website. Again, it's www.raritanval.edu/paintedfaces. And Dr. Kaufman, could you give them that phone number again?
Yeah, 908-231-8000. 8816 and just leave a message for Stephen Kaufman, and I'll get back to you.
I just want to thank you guys so much. I do want to thank you, Dr. Kaufman at Raritan Valley and everyone over there. This is a very, very special thing. It is overwhelmingly supported. I can feel it. You guys are wonderful. I just respect your work so much. So glad I was actually here today representing Big C by accident because he's out at Good Morning Hunterdon. I just wanted to ask you, Emily Raven, Standing Bear, you said that you have your radio show.
Yes.
Can you really quickly let everybody know how they can listen in? Because I think if they want to continue to learn more.
Oh, absolutely. The name of the show is Voices of Our People. It's on Two Worlds Indigenous Radio, 99.5. Actually, the best way to listen to it is online, and it's every other Sunday evening from 10 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern Time. And we talk about a variety of issues that affect contemporary Native people today, mascot issue, missing and murdered Indigenous women, the environmental issues. So there's tons of issues that we discuss in regards to Native people, and I'd love it if you guys could tune in. Alvon Griffin is my co-host, and we play a variety of Native music, both powwow music and contemporary Native music as well, which I think everybody will enjoy.
I'm sure they will. Again, you should put it on your calendar. Next Saturday, if you want to come with your family to Raritan Valley Community College for the powwow, the authentic, real-time powwow. And thanks so much for listening in today again on Good Morning Hunterdon. Big C will be back tomorrow, and I hope you have a great day. Thank you guys again for being here.
Thank you. We appreciate it. Feel better, Chris.
Feel better, Chris.
Feel better.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with John DeMaster.
The FBI, Homeland Security, and other agencies investigate the shooting death of a trooper in Virginia. Trooper Chad Durmeyer shot yesterday afternoon by a man at a station in Richmond. The gunman killed in a shootout with other troopers. Democratic presidential candidate Bernie Sanders says his reaction to Trump's remarks about abortion were taken out of context by Hillary Clinton.
Well, I believe it's a serious issue. I've been spending my entire political life fighting for the right of women to control her own body. I have 100% voting record, pro-choice voting record.
He tells Good Morning America he'd continue fighting for a woman's right to choose if he's elected president. A Mississippi law banning adoption by same-sex couples overturned. A federal judge striking it down after four legally married same-sex couples file a lawsuit. The couples arguing that the ban discriminated against people who were legally married. This is USA Radio News, powered by USARadio.com.
Hey, it's Rusty Humphries, host of Trending Today USA, where we feature...
And you were hired for a reason, you know, if you have something to say, speak up. It's great advice. So we'll be right back. Just a second, it's already 3:48. Thanks for listening in today.
Bank Trust and Partners in New Jersey and Florida. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified gold date and modern coins, pneumatic supply.
And you were hired for a reason. You know, if you have something to say, speak up. It's great advice. So we'll be right back. Just a second. It's already 3:48. Thanks for listening in today.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rapp Coins has been with the Mysticist since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert in numismatics, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Hello, welcome back to the show. Thanks for listening again. I'm Judy Murphy. It's already 3:49, and I'm Station, New Jersey. So if you are interested in attending, just contact the chamber and you can go online and fill out the forms right there. Connie, are you there?
I am. I'm still here.
Oh, great. Thanks so much for holding through on the commercials and being on the show today. I'm sure everybody's enjoying it. Why don't you just take the next about 7 minutes to tell us whatever else you think is most important for our listeners out there.
Oh my goodness, I feel so empowered.
Yes. Well, you know, it's so interesting. Honestly, you know, I'm getting so much out of it, I didn't want to interrupt you, so I was like, let's just keep going, because time goes so fast.
All right, well, I think just to sort of wrap up the whole conversation is that I just want to encourage your listeners to think really carefully about how they're coming across. You know, believe it or not, I actually spend a fair amount of time in my workshops on teaching people how to answer the phone. Now, that might sound a little odd, you know, like, of course, you pick up the phone and you say hello. And I gave an example earlier, but, it's important that you think about how you're coming across. And you're completely responsible for that. That is up to you. That's all your choice. And so you can answer the phone with a tone of voice that says, I'm too busy, I can't talk to you right now. You know, make it quick. You're an interruption. Or you can answer the phone welcoming the person in. You know, I've been sitting here all day just waiting for you to call. And you have to think about how you set the tone of a conversation. And that is very true, not even in telephone communication, but in face-to-face communication. What kind of an impression are people getting of you when you greet them? Just when you greet them. And so what happens is we know that you never get a second chance to make a first impression. And what we do then is we either seek evidence to confirm the impression we have, or we seek evidence to change that impression. And when I'm on the telephone, am I exuding some kind of energy and enthusiasm and helpfulness? Do I sound helpful? And when I record, so I'll go around the room and I'll take a recorder and I'll just go around the room and say, just answer the phone like you normally do. And people will say to me, oh my gosh, I sound angry, or ooh, gosh, I don't know, you know, or yeah, it sounded kind of mean, and I'm like, yeah. So what happens then, you have to think about what the reaction to the other person is. So when you do that, so you answer the phone and you're sounding mean, they're intimidated, they're not going to be so likely to work with you, they're going to start working against you right away. It's just human nature.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that if I could just leave you with this idea that, you know, be in charge, be aware, be actively involved in the relationships that you're building with others, whether it's a first-time relationship, first and only, or it's your first time into a lasting relationship, especially with customers and clients, you know, folks that we work with on a regular basis. And then all of the channels. And so that kind of brings me around to texting. Mm-hmm. You know, in business, we want to be very careful of the whole text thing because it can really, it can derail a good relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like your example is, I'm on my way.
Yeah.
Can I get there? Okay, you know.
Right.
It's just, we want to really think about that and ask yourself, is texting the channel that I want to be using? Is that really the appropriate thing, the appropriate way to go? Often it's not. Not in business, anyway. Mm-hmm. Now, and I'll say to people, they'll say, well, you know, my clients, they text me. You know, they want me to text them. I say, great. Then act like text is your email. Use punctuation.
Right.
Use full words. Make full sentences. Don't use emoticons. You can use a smiley face once in a while. It's okay. But, you know, think about what kind of an impression. It's a business relationship.
It's interesting that you say that, just because you are the professional here. I'm curious, like, what do you think about, you know, Twitter is like the standard operating procedure for many businesses now, and they, you know, have limited it down to like 140 characters, so you have to, you know, cut it down, and then, you know, sometimes you have to leave behind punctuation, and that's what they're learning, and so it must be so difficult, because I agree with you, I'm like more of a traditional person, so, you know, I'm expecting when I'm, especially working with someone who's younger than me, I want them to kind of get up on my game, and I want to also be courteous to their environment, what they're doing. It's got to be pretty weird in the middle, though, don't you think?
I do. I really do. I think it's appropriateness. You know, you don't want to come off all stuffy and old-fashioned either.
Right.
So, in terms of Twitter, it's got its own language. You can be pretty creative with the words that you're choosing. You have to keep it short. Same with texting. There are some things that are sort of overlooked. You know, once upon a time,